London, Choftal Shvat, 15th of February, Rabbi Benji Morgenschlitter, Shame the Ayin to Freedom, But Why? This week's Torah Way has been sponsored by Family Morawiecki, Lil Nishmas Moros Chava, Bas Ramot Chameh, Olea Sholoim, whose Yotzak was Choftal Teves. This week's, which is today. Yotzak is today. No, Choftal is today. And this. Of Shvat.
You said Tevez.
Do you know that's a spelling mistake, I think? Yes. It says Tevez here, but it should be Shvat. Chof Dalet Shvat, I think it is Tov Shein Ayin Vov. Leah, I'll check that out. This week's Torah Way has also been sponsored by Family Wiesenfeld, Leah Nishmas Shvigo, Leah Sholom, Moras Chava Devorio, Bas Simcha Yisrael, whose Yod site is tomorrow, Chof Hei Shvat, and Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Yaakov, my father's a friend of Rocha, whose Yod site will be Shabbos Chof Zayin Shvat.
Who is Family Wiesenfeld?
Who is Maria Becky?
What did you say? Who or where?
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So, good morning. Ve'ilam ishpotim asher tosim lifneim. It's a parasha which is full of halachos, which many of us in yeshiva spend years and years learning through noshim azikin, and we kind of take it for granted the idea of spending with yeshiva and sometimes weeks on one amud, sometimes many more daf, but that we will immerse ourselves in yeshiva life, in delving into everything that this parasha kind of indicates needs more understanding. But I remember that we cannot take that for granted, because the first trip I ever took to Eretz Yisrael of a group of young boys who'd never experienced any learning, it took them 11 years ago on my first JD trip that I took about 25 guys to Or Sameach. And these people were on a journey. They were looking to experience Yiddishkeit, the Ribbono Shel Olam, and they're excited to immerse themselves in spirituality and a quest for morals and ethics and relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the Magid Shiur in Or Sameach starts off, okay, we're going to learn here. They're waiting to hear, what is it? What meditation are we going to do? And he says, and this was for 10 days. And you know, the first day, a few of the guys came to me and said, what is this about? Like, why are we learning about cows and jugs? And you know, like, what is this about? And I said, don't worry, it will come with time. You'll see, it will come with time. And it didn't come with time. And at the end of the 10 days, they were still left confused as to how this was enabling them. I don't even own a kasher shnogach dalat vehei. What is this? It's got no shaychus to my life, to how I want to live. I don't even know how to make kiddush, and you're teaching me, you know, v'achir v'niskal bo, and is it the demi nizik, demi mazik? What is it about? And thankfully, during that time, I had come across a beautiful idea from Rebbe Wein, and I shared it with them. And I think that there's a real deep emes into this, and maybe perhaps what we're going to learn today. He says that in society, it teaches us the values, the systems of society. They teach us very different things to the way the Ribbono Shel Olam sees the world. You know, it's a famous quote that when we daven, we talk to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and when we learn, Hashem speaks to us. What does it mean Hashem speaks to us? It's a chance for us to be megala in the world and to ourselves what actually does the Ribbono Shel Olam, how does he see a situation? And to take those lessons from that. It's a very, very important idea, because really that is the Lilmoy de la Lamed, Lishmer de la Lasis. The whole purpose of the Lilmoy de la Lamed, the Lishmer de la Lasis, is to incorporate everything that we've learned. And not just the facts, but the story behind the facts. I'll explain that in a second what that means. But Rebbe Wein says that, you know, in the outside world, if a neighbor's friend, either side of you, their child goes out to the garden, kicks a ball through the pane of the glass window. What do you do? You go into that, knock on the door, say, grab hold the child. And you say, do you know what this child did? He smashed that window over there. I'm not leaving here until you pay. We're going to call someone. I'm going to send you the full invoice. It's a 12 and a half year old boy. The cat from next door who knocks over the... I'm talking about, he was back in the day when we had glass milk bottles. I think they'll come back still in our lifetime. But now we're in a place... But it was a glass milk bottle. Knocks over and smashes. You say, well, it's a neighbor's cat. What can you do? This is... Pets will be pets. You know, that's what they are. That's what they do. You're not going to go asking for the money back. Comes along the Torah and says the complete opposite. The Torah tells us the chereshet v'katan, completely potter. And an animal... Shehizik, for sure, you go to the neighbor, he's chayav to pay for the milk. What is the lesson behind the facts? Just hold that for a second. I want to tell you what that means, because I saw this beautiful article from Rav Leichter. We'll get to Shemvai in a second, but it's such an important hakdama this. That I saw this beautiful article from Rav Leichter this last week, that he spoke about what is the story behind the facts. It's an amazing idea, because if you learn, depending on which yeshiva you learn in, but especially if you learn in some of the more, let's say, brisker yeshiva-style yeshivas, everything is completely based on Voshtate. That's all you're interested in. You're interested in Voshtate. Why? My Shiva and Pesek, Rav Meir Stern, Zalig Zanzai, used to say, why? You have to know. You have to know why. Why? That's not our job, is know why. Voshtate, that's what you need to know. But Lamaisa, what does it mean to get Pshat? Really, the real Pshat, the word Pshat comes from Mufshat, which means to completely, like a banana, to completely peel it, to skin it, and to get to the essence of the story behind the facts. And he says that so much in our society is based on facts, not on the story behind the facts, and that is where we're going wrong. It's a great, amazing idea. He said that a father came to him, he had this boy who was learning 6 hours of tzifas, and he came to ask Rav Leichter, this bachur was mamash mitzuyan, and he came to ask Rav Leichter, do you think my son should go to this top yeshiva? So Rav Leichter, when you're asking me, of course he should. Like, he's a top guy, he's learning, he's answering his thing. So Rav Leichter said to him, what are you on about? He said, listen, I want to know the story behind the facts. The fact is that this guy is learning non-stop. But why is he learning? Is it because he's got Cheshka Satera? Is it because he's learning because he's trying to people-please the people around him in his Rabbeim? Is it because he mamish loves Torah? Is it because of something completely different which is driving him? And maybe the only reason why he's learning so well is because he's in yeshiva which is shvach, and therefore he feels he has a makom. So maybe by going to the top yeshiva is actually going to be completely the opposite for him. And Rav Leichter stopped and he realized how much of our lives, when it comes to shidduchim, when it comes to things, we look at the facts, we don't look at the story behind the facts. And then it comes and bites us because we're not really reading the story behind the facts, which is what it really means to get pshat in something, is to get the real pshat, is to skin just that outer peel and get and understand what's behind. So that brings us to one small halacha, posuk, that runs from Pashupatim, seemingly almost irrelevant. By the way, from Bear Wine, that story, there's a very important story behind the fact, which is what the Torah wants us to learn from that is, I believe, this is my hisof on a Bear Wine, is that your animals are you own your animals. Your animals, you're responsible. If you buy a pet, look after it. If you can't look after it, then get rid of it or pay for the damages it does. But our children, they're not our property. The children are our property. We don't own our children. In fact, sometimes, okay, people use this term, but I always kind of recoil when people say it says my shmuli or my. It's not yours. He's not yours. He's not yours. He's not my Benji. He's not my shmuli. He's someone who you were zoicha to be able to bring into this world and try and indicate and watch and grow and show them the derech, the right derech. They're not property. They're not our responsibility. They're our responsibility to show them, but they're not our property. They're not. We don't own them, right? We can't. And therefore, the idea is that as we go through life, to look through the lesson behind it, because there's a difference between ownership of a cat or a cow and a cheresh sheit of a cotton, which be'emes, our responsibility is to show them, to guide them, but not to lock them up. Okay, so coming to something very interesting here, which is the halacha of loiseitze ketzeis ha'avodim. V'chiyim keresh espitoi la'oma loiseitze ketzeis ha'avodim, it's Oma Vriya and also an Eved Ivri as well. We know that Eved Kanani goes out with Shem V'ayim, and Eved Ivri, or Am Ivriya, does not go out with Shem V'ayim. The Rambam in Hilchos Avodin, Perikei Halacha Hei, Pirkei Halacha Dalet. Ketzad Broshi Evarim. Hamakeh Es Avdei B'Chavona. First of all, it has to be B'Chavona. It's not that you were climbing up and you by mistake knocked and the thing. It has to be that he was hitting a B'Chavona. B'Chosra Echad Me'esrim Ba'abor Roshi Evarim. Again, this is not only Shen Ba'ayin, but any of the 24 Roshi Evarim. She'in on Chosin Yotzel Lecheirus. B'Tzarech Get Shichru. So then the Rambam asks the obvious question. If it's the 24 Roshi Evarim, Lomanem of the Torah Ela Shen Ba'ayin. Why does it say Shen Ba'ayin? The Rambam gives an answer that it has to be a mum shebegoli. Okay. But the Maisa, that is a question. Why is it dafka shen v'ayin? There's another question, which is why lefseitzik tzeisal vodim? Why is it that an evadivri on evriya don't get that pass? It seems almost racist that against the Yidden, that the Goyim, they get out with a knock of an eye or a tooth, and the Yidden lo seitzik tzeisal vodim. What is the pshat? What is the Torah trying to tell us? But it's not the only time we come across shen v'ayin. We also, later in the parasha, it's funny, we say ayin tachas ayin, shen tachas shen, and then comes along the Gemara in Bava Kama Pidal and says, no, it's not ayin, it's momoin. And we learn, so we learn from a different pasuk, Yalfusa, to learn that it's the momoin, not the ayin. But the pasuk says ayin tachas ayin, and then the Christians went and said an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, right? And but why? What just to give us litin schalalim down? Okay. Sorry if you got knocked off. Whoever's on the phone. Okay. So that again, there seems to be something about shen and ayin, but it doesn't finish there. We're coming up a couple of months, less than 2 months now, to the Haggadah Shel Pesach. So we come to the Haggadah Shel Pesach, and we've got the Keneged Arba Bonim Dibur Torah. So we understand the Chacham. Then we come to the Rosha. And it was about 10 years ago that I'm sitting there doing a Seder for people who'd never had a Seder before. And I start talking about the Rosha and how we deal with him. And I just realized as I was talking, like the looks of people's faces, so what does the Rosha do? He says he doesn't believe. You know? Not saying that anyone at the table is Rosha, none of them are showing, but the person who's asking these questions sounds very similar to some of the questions that we hear in Kirov. And so he says, so what do we do? So Michal puts up his hand, I know what we do, blunt out his teeth, knock out his teeth. Right? Like, you're kind of lost half the save the table, right? As it is. Like, Rabbi, what do you mean? You're knocking out the teeth. That's, what did he do wrong? All he did was ask a question. And there is a Shiloh, like, even with children that maybe some people with classes are shoyim or rebelling or whatever the word is, people will ask these types of questions. Even from within our own kehillah, there's always a question of how do you deal with them? Do you love them? Do you, even if you love them, can you show them that love? Do you tell them they're not allowed back in the house? How do you deal with them? That seemingly, this is validation of the Hakei Shinov approach. I mean, Dosh Deit, Hakei Shinov, what can I do? It's a Beferish HaGadah. You know, it's Hakei Shinov. But what is that? We don't find that anywhere else in the Torah. There must be something, because we don't find this. In the rest of the Torah, we don't find this Loshen. Although we actually do. There is the Gemara in Hamaniach, that Gemara that we were learning Arsameach, Hamaniach Sakad, the Ovid Inish Din El Nafshei. In the whole sugi of Ovid Inish Din El Nafshei, in the Kamach of Zion on the base, there's a machlekas over there between Rav Yudah and Rav Nachman, whether a person can take the law into his own hands. Right? If you know someone has stolen your watch, which is engraved, Dear Benji, with love from Daddy and Mummy, at the back of it, and you see it in your friend's house, and you know that it's yours, it's no one else's, do you take the law into your own hands, or do you have to go through the due process, or not? And then, when there's Pseida, everyone agrees, if it's a loss that you're not going to be able to retrieve, then everyone agrees, but in a case of Lekha Pseida, it's just you happen to know, this is your, there's no one else could have come up with this. It's like, you know, the chances of him also, who's not even called your name, having an engraved watch with also a thing that you happen to, and it says, you know, Bar Mitzvah 1996. I mean, it's like, you know it's yours, right? It's definitely yours. Can you just go and take it? The Gemara goes backwards and forwards with many different riyas. But one of the riyas it brings from is from Ben Bagbag. Ben Bagbag goyimeh, Al tikonis l'chotza chavercha litila shalcha shalei brishus. Don't go into your friend's chotza to take what is yours without rishus. Shem otir alof kaganov. Because you could, like Alice Maris Ayn, could be, look, you're climbing in the window of your friend. You don't belong to Shomrim. What are you doing? Chavirim, whatever. So what are you doing? You're climbing in someone's house. Say, no, I'm going to take my own thing. But Shem otir alof kaganov. Rather, Ella, what should you do? Shvoyer Shinov. Shvoyer Shinov, you should break his teeth. So then the Gemara asks, so then the Gemara must bring a riot from Shvoyer Shinov that you couldn't over dinner shtin on nafshe. And says the Gemara, no, my Shvoyer Shinov badin. It's another one of those teeth things that didn't actually mean teeth. Right? No, Shvoyer Shinov is to break his teeth badin, in Beis Din. So why do you tell me Shvoyer Shinov? Why do you use the word Loshen of Shvoyer Shinov? Just say, take him to Beis Din. Yeah? So it's a very interesting, I think this is the only other time outside our God that we find this concept of Hakei Shinov, then Shvoyer Shinov.
What about Maris Ayin?
Why is there Maris Ayin?
Now, why should Maris Ayin should be involved as well? If you go into someone's house, it's not...
Yeah, that's what he says. Shema Tirilov Kuganov.
Yeah.
That's what he says. Shema Tirilov Kuganov. But what is the pshat in Shvoyer Shinov? And why, if it doesn't mean Shvoyer Shinov, would we then say, okay, actually it doesn't mean Shvoyer Shinov, but rather it means Badin. So why did you use the Loshen of Shvoyer Shinov as breaking his teeth? Okay, so if we just hold those thoughts for a second, and we go to a different sugya, which is very strange. In the Torah, we know that Yaakov, Esav, they've got a lot going on. And finally they grow up. And then we come to the great showdown. Vayishlach, Esav's coming with 400 men, as the song goes. And Yaakov is sitting there with his family, right? See, he's got his small thing. So now, you think about it, you've got the equivalent of the American army, tanks rolling in, F-32 jets on top, and Yaakov standing there, he's not sure he's going to split his family, etc. And then we know the Pasuk says, Vayishokeu. And he comes over to him, they finally meet, and Vayishokeu, and they kiss with an akudus lamala. Why? Because Chazal tell us that he really came l'noshcheu bo. But because suddenly niskabel of rachamim, which was really to do with the fact that the night before he'd overcome the malach of Esav, and niskabel of rachamim, and it comes out as a kiss. So, we've learned this for years, but when you think about it, why does Esav, who's got 400 men, and tanks, and the biggest military, what is he doing wanting to bite Yaakov's neck like two kids in a playground? It's strange. You think about it, like, what, he's that much? You can send arrows, and it's such a weird way to kind of try and kill someone. It's a very mushlistic way, but it seems strange. Maybe the pshat is that that's all Esau wants to do, is just to kill him in the most mushlistic way, but by Yishokeu it comes out as a kiss, and he came to bite him. The Gemara in Baba Kama, there's Machlekus, Rav and Shmuel, Gimel on base. What is Shen? My Mave, Rav on my Mave is a Adam, Shmuel on my Mave is a Shen. So Machlekus, Arbobas Nezikin, Shereba Boreva Mave Heva. What is Mave? So Rav says Mave is Adam, Shmuel says Mave is Shen. Each of them bring their riot. Shmuel says Mave is a Shen. Why? Tichsiv Eich Nechpesu Esav Nivu Matzpoinov. So the plot thickens. Esav, Eich Nichbis Esav Nivu Matzpoinov, his teeth are hidden, and so we see that Nivu, a Mave, is referring to teeth. But interesting that here the Gemara is bringing a raya that Mave is Shen for a posuk that says that Esav has got a relationship with Nivu Matzpoinov, his teeth are hidden. Kashay Vai Golala Tumoi. So again, something to do with Esav, the Eved Knani. What's going on over here? So for many years, I kind of would come across these different things, but I never had a good pshat until I came across the Kliyokar in this week's parasha, which Mamash opens up this entire sugya and maybe gives us the story behind the facts. So the Kliyokar starts off like this. Loi seitzi katzei sa'avodim. Zog the Kliyokar ka'avodim ayutzi b'shem v'ayin. The avodim which go out b'shem v'ayin, they go out with a tooth and an eye. No, a yid doesn't go out like that. Eloi vedes sheish, ayad ayevul, ashtovi simonim. L'fum riata nira litin tam l'chol in yoni chiris elu be'evet ivri oyevria oyaknani l'fishik. Why is it that he just wants to give a pshat? Why is it that a yid? He's answering that question we asked earlier. Why is it that a yid would not go out, whereas a goy would? L'fishik kol kanani asher le'noga alav or ha'torah. Any goy which hasn't had the opportunity to be able to be shine on him the or ha'torah, ein loy tachlis acher. He has no other purpose. Ki im lasois bekesef uvazov velitzbur bor kachil hayom velasis choil. His entire definition of success in life is amassing greater fortunes. But why is he doing that? Vavurzo oisas that's my kachamor. He'll work like a donkey. Noisa masa. Why will he do that? Ein loy tachlis acher ki im lizuim boy es shinov ve es einov. He says the whole purpose of why a goy works is to get a fortune. And why does he want to amass that fortune? Kiim lizim boyas shenov ve'es einov. My father is involved with layman's, and he used to have a worker there, a Geordie worker, he smoked like an absolute chimney, only ate fried food, lived the most unhealthy life you could ever live. And he would work really hard. And my father, he was diagnosed with very serious illness, which the doctor said to him, he told my father, he says, you know, doctor said, if I continue smoking and eating like this, got 3 months to live. So my father says, so you're going to stop, Billy, right? He says, nah, not going to stop. He says, why not? He says, because otherwise life's not worth living. Right? So he smoked for another 3 months, and he ate for another 3 months, and he died after 3 months. Because that's what the Kliyaka says, that what's the point? What, he comes to work in order not to eat, not to smoke, not to be able to use his shen and his ayin and consumerism and be able to engage the world. There's no point. There's no point in living. So he was mamish makayim, this kliyaka. He mamish continued to smoke until they buried him.
And he died.
Yeah. And then he died. And that's the kashe yivar ha-golol ad-tumoy. What is that? What is it, Shai? Kashe yivar ha-golol ad-tumoy? What does it mean, kashe yivar ha-golol ad-tumoy? That kolzman sheshinov hatoichenos chazokim afbriim yidbe benafshav shekeicham oz. For as long as a person has a full set of teeth, a person believes and feels that he's still got power, and he can consume everything and then continue to consume. When he can no longer enjoy his food, ben chayrin, he goes out of ben chayrin. He's done. Einov keitzad. What does the ayin represent? Most people, their eyes are bigger than their stomach. And therefore, the whole idea of ayin roev, the ayin represents the gratification of consumerism, that although the teeth represent the consumerism element, the ayin, what it represents, is the idea of you see something, then you want it, and then you consume it, and then that's the vicious cycle. You go, that's how the vicious cycle. Now, it could be, and all the other Rashi Yavarim, by the way, represent all of the engagement with the world, right? Our hands, the fingers, it represents the engagement with the world. But the Shen V'ayin element, what the Kliyaka is saying, represent the ultimate American consumer. That's what it is. You see something, then you get the new one, and then you eat it, and then you get another one, and then if you have the iPhone 12 Pro, that's not good enough until the iPhone 13 Pro comes, and no one's even sure what's better about the iPhone 13 than the iPhone 12. But everyone sees it, they see the advert, then they consume it, then they get the next one, and then they put that one in the bin. Every Yid who really understands Teres Hashem Bekirboy, he's not looking for gratification in Gashmias for in itself alone. Kim kedei shir lahavi. It's only in order to be able to bring Ravim basic Chazokim Afriim Lasik Pateras Hashem. His whole purpose of why he's engaging with this world is in order to be stronger, in order to have the ability to be able to learn, to be able to grow up a family, have Shabbos, pay for his kids' school fees, and be able to marry off his children. It's always for a higher purpose. He's not amassing fortunes just for the sake of it. And therefore, says the Kliyakar, that is the reason why they say Tzikatse Savodim. Because whereas a goy, it was almost like a mekachtos. The reason why he sold himself was so that he could literally immerse himself completely in this world. For his shen, for his ayin, for his rashi yavarim. You knock that out, there's no purpose. What am I doing this for? Whereas a yid, shen v'ayin, no, like, you know, life goes on. sometimes you have up, sometimes you have down, sometimes you have a bit more teeth, sometimes a bit less, sometimes a bit more food, sometimes a bit less. But the reason why this Eved Ivri sold himself was never to totally immerse himself in Gashmias and the whole thing's otherwise in Mekartos. He did it because he needed the money. So he vitally needs the money, with a tooth, with an eye, without a tooth, without an eye. It doesn't make a difference. And therefore, says the Kliokor, that is what the Shen represents, that's what the Ayin represents. The Shen represents the consumerism, the eye sees it, the Shen consumes it, and it represents the way, the difference between the way a Goy lives, the way a Yid lives. Perhaps this also is the difference between the Esav and Yaakov. I once heard from Moshe Shapiro that the whole machlokes between Esav and Yaakov was exactly this. The machlokes between Esav and Yaakov was, is it Olam Hazel Hashem Olam Hazel? Or is it Olam Hazel Hashem Olam Haba? They go and they get very confused when they say, when they see us Yidden. Because they see that, wow, they're not living like monks on the top of a mountain. They have nice houses. They seem to eat good food. So what is it? What's the difference between a Yid and a Goy? It's everything. Because what Avraham Avinu brought to the world and what we are a Nachla of is not the idea of taking Ruchnius and bringing it to the world. It's about taking Gashmius and elevating it into something Ruchni. That's what Yaakov wanted. That's what he represented. Esav said, what do you mean? Life is a party. This is about enjoying life. And therefore, if you enjoy life, then the most important thing is to enjoy life. Esav comes with 400 men, right? He's got the strongest military. But what is the machlokes between Esav and Yaakov? It's about consumerism, represented by the teeth. So with all his armies and everything else, Esav comes... He wants to take his teeth and overpower him and show him that after all these years, he had won. But because the night before, Yaakov had overcome the Malach of Esav, it comes out as a kiss because Esav had no power. Yaakov had really been the true victor in this. And that also explains why Esav, Eich Nichvesu Esav, Nivum Atzpeinov, because that's what Shmuel's saying. This is Esav who he is. Why would a person steal? It's only if the Esav inside of him is being miskaber. If a person lives like a Yaakov, then sometimes he has a Shen, sometimes he doesn't have a Shen, sometimes he's got more money, sometimes he doesn't have more money. Why is this guy taking your watch and put it in his house? Shvoy Reshinov is to break his teeth, is to break that consumerism part of him. Badin! But Shvoy Reshinov, the Chazal used that Loshen perhaps, because the reason what drove him to take that watch that was engraved was because there was a Shen element of consumerism element that drove him to take it. Says the Gemara, Shver Shinov, my Shver Shinov, Badin. And maybe that's the pshat with the Rosha too. The Rosha, he comes and he asks all these questions. And we have children and we have brothers and sisters which ask these questions. And sometimes we don't realize why they're asking the questions. What's the story behind them? Why are they asking this question? What is it that's driving them? Says Chazal, Hakei Ashinov. Doesn't say Shvoyer. Hakei means to blunt. Sometimes people come with emunah questions, and you really think they're asking emunah questions. That's not really what's bothering them. What's bothering them is they've seen a different world. They've seen an Olam Hazeh, Hashem Olam Hazeh world, and they want to live that life. And therefore, they'll look for all excuses of evolution and this and other to be able to live an immersed life in Olam Hazeh. Let me just live my life immersed in Olam Hazeh. Let me live my Shen V'ayin life. My consumerism life. And then it comes out as a question on Emunah, but really the question was never about Emunah. Hakei Ashinov means, says Chazal, blunt that tooth. Show them how the consumerism isn't everything. Blunt it, show it, yeah, we need teeth, but it's not there, it's not the be all and end all. And that's how you answer the Rosh's question, because you understood his story, not just the facts. And maybe with that, also, we can understand the Ayin Tachas Ayin. Why did the Torah say Ayin Tachas Ayin? Because a person could listen to this Torah way idea from the Kliokor and say, ah, you know what? And I see many people do this. They say, you know what? You see, Yidden, we don't care about Gashmias. You see that? Yeah, like whatever. A goy, you have to pay him, and you have to let him free. But if you knock out a Yid's tooth, it's not Gulachir, it means nothing to you. And after you've hit your Eved Nani, Eved Ivri, and he's knocked out his tooth. You say, ah, let me show you a Murdika Kliokar. For us, this means nothing. Yeah? Says the Torah, no, Ayin Tachas Ayin, the Rambam attack of Haskins, that if you hit your Eved Ivri's tooth, you have to pay him. He doesn't go to Lechiris, but you have to pay him. Because we're not arguing with Esav to say whether Gashmias has value. It's just does life with or without Gashmias have a value? That's the difference. It's not whether we have value to Gashmias. And therefore, the Torah goes along and says, Ayin Tachas Ayin. Not for a moment. Ein Tachas Ein. We believe in the value of an eye. Just the way that we evaluate the eye is being isn't be mazik. We give it a different way. But the Torah is teaching us that even when it comes to an ivri, we've got a different. We have to look at it differently. We don't look at it like a goy. Don't look at it like the monks. Don't look like Christians. The goyim, they have a polarization when it comes to gashmis. Either I'm completely immersed, or no, it means nothing to us. So the Torah, no, for a moment, that's what we immerse ourselves in the yeshiva. Mamish, like, trying to figure out how much is to be nizik, to be mazik, ziburis. What is it? I thought Kashmir is nothing for you guys. You smash someone's window, cult of. If I tell you Gemara, that I'd have to pay you. But if I smash your window, meicha teis, the Torah says, no. This is every, Yaakov goes and he takes those pachim katanim. That's how he argues with Esau, pachim katanim, you really care about Kashmir's. Why are you going to pachim katanim? Teretz says, no. Yaakov believes that everything he has is for a purpose, and therefore those pachim katanim are going to go through. And it's exactly at that moment that the Malach of Esau challenges him, because Esau doesn't care. Consumerism, we'll get some more pachim katanim tomorrow. Just throw those out. Get some new ones. So that's exactly what Esau and Yaakov are arguing about. That's exactly what they say to Savodim, and that's exactly the story and the lesson that we need to take, which is that we believe that Gashmias is the most amazing thing. It's just there to be elevated, and through that, we come to the true Geula for Yeshua. Shkaya, thank you.